Two. Hey everyone, welcome back to The Advisor. My name is Lisa Urbanski, and I am really excited to talk to our guest today. His name is Christopher Deeney, and since meeting him, I've really taken a deep dive on this topic that we're speaking of, which is kratom. And not many people, I mean, not many people in my world know about it. But they're starting to find out because I've been finding out more and more amazing things about this product, and it's worth the know. So it's definitely worth the listen to go back to our past episodes where Chris has really broken down each perspective of kratom. What is kratom? What to look for? What is the powder versus the leaf? So we really go into detail on all those topics. Today we're going to get into fake kratom versus the real deal. And this is really important because I watched a documentary which talked a little bit about kratom being really, really negative and scary, but it was all for the wrong reasons. So we're going to go into that today. Just want to thank Spreaker iHeartRadio for your sponsorship. We appreciate you. And to our audience, we just love you so much. Thank you for tuning in. And if you have not yet done so, please remember to like and subscribe before you leave today. Any questions about Kratom that you might have after the show, please let us know and we will make sure Chris gets them. It's really good to see you again. How are you
Yeah.
doing?
Good, good. Nice to see you again. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so you left me with some homework after the last show we did together, and that was that docu-series documentary on Kratom, and it was really well done, and it really gave me a lot of perspective, and now I really understand why, it's really important to do your homework on this stuff to make sure you're getting exactly what you're supposed to be getting. And so you're going to talk to us a little bit today about fake Kratom versus the real deal. So, like, not all of it is what it claims to be, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what happens when you don't have, kind of have a gray market, I guess you can say. More people know about Kratom now than they did 10 years ago when I first discovered Kratom. But there's still really anybody at any time can create a company, sell a product, call it Kratom, put it out into the market, and people don't know whether it's Kratom or not. So that's probably the real issue.
Yeah, well, let's talk about what to look for. What is kratom? How do we know it's kratom? And then, yeah, what's the stuff that gives this product a bad name?
Well, back in the day, there was a lot of products more on the market than there is now. They're still out there, but a lot of states are banning like Tianeptine and Phenibut, and a lot of products out there were calling themselves kratom products. They were adding Tianeptine and Phenibut to them and calling them kratom products. And that's just bad in a lot of ways because number one, they're not just taking a pure kratom product. Anybody who knows me, who listens to me, knows I swear by the whole leaf product that. I have no problem with extracts. I think they're great. They have their place and they're great for a measured dose every time, standardized dose. But when you're learning about kratom, I like telling people to try the plant first, make a tea out of it. So when people are trying these products, they say they're kratom and they have a negative reaction. We don't know if they're having a negative reaction from the kratom or the phenibut or the tianeptine or anything else that they're adding to the product. So
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, right? You start mixing things, you got to just use one thing and see how your body reacts to it.
yeah, I mean, there's products. If there's products on the market, if they had it, oh, this has phenibut, tianeptine, kratom, and all that, great. You put it on the label, that's wonderful. But there's a lot of product that nothing was on the label. They just said it was this, they said it was kratom, and it was a whole cocktail mixture of other things. So.
Ugh. So what, like, is it important that lab testing is done?
100%. I tell everybody. Make sure when you order kratom from companies that are testing their product, companies that are working with the American Kratom Association or any of the big organizations that really care about kratom. You really need to know that the people behind the product that you're buying care about the plant, that they're doing the right thing with their money, that they're putting it back into the community, that they're supporting the farmers, making sure the people who pick this plant and who harvest this product are paid correctly.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So how can we tell if it's third-party tested?
Well, most the packages that you'll see in a lot of the smoke shops and vape shops should have some kind of a QR code on it or something like that to scan. Or if you're buying online, whoever you're buying online from should have it in their product description. So you can either download it or compare it. We personally have, we don't have our products in smoke shops or vape shops, so we have downloadable testing results right on our website in our product descriptions. So you can go to our website and look at the testing results, compare different products, and that's that way you know it's tested.
Right. So should what should they what are labs testing for?
Well, usually there have to be testing for heavy metals, microbiology, and alkaloids. The kratom alkaloids are important because that tells you whether it's going to be a real product or not. That will
Wow.
have identity testing. So when you have your kratom product tested, if you look at our testing results, you'll always see the mitragynine content, and then for the major alkaloids that we test for, you'll also see the microbiology, which is, heavy the molds, Salmonella, all that type of stuff that you don't want in your product. And then you'll see heavy metals, which would be cadmium, lead, arsenic, and all of that. So you'd be able to look on it and see whether they're pretty easy re to read testing results. We have either a pass fail. So if you can read it, you see the numbers, you can compare the numbers, and then next to it on the right column, you'll see pass or fail. Obviously, if it fails, it's not up there on our website. So.
Right. So, what about the source?
Source is important. Even for people who are new to kratom for their experience, we're seeing a lot of changes in the environment with even natural kratom. What we're seeing is Indonesia had put kratom exports on hold in September of 2024. They just recently opened it back up for export. So the kratom that comes from Indonesia, that's been coming from Indonesia in 27-ton containers for days and weeks and months, was all on hold for 6 months. So the environment kind of dried up a little bit. There was some kratom being imported from Thailand, and the kratom from Thailand's a little different than the kratom from Indonesia. They're both great, but it's a little different experience. So people, I just want people to understand that they are a little different feel, but same plant. It's just like the genetics, different regions, soil composition. It just makes the plant a little different. It's pretty neat, actually.
Right. So, what if a company can't tell you where their kratom is from? Should you buy it?
I wouldn't. All of
Yeah.
our kratom comes from Indonesia. We work with our group of farmers. We've been with them for years. They do a great job. They support kratom. They support the environment. They live in villages that have kratom trees, their own personal kratom trees in their villages. Everybody in the house has their own kratom tree. So they've been doing this for generations. They know kratom, and we're proud to say we work with one of the best farmer groups out there. So,
Nice. So, freshness. What about freshness? Does freshness matter? How should you keep your kratom?
we were just having a discussion about this on one of the other forums. A lot of people think, and I made the same mistake when I first found kratom. A lot of people think that they should keep it in the freezer or the refrigerator. So I did that. I put them in the glass ball jars because when I first started ordering kratom, it wasn't in a nice sealed package or anything. It was ordered
Okay.
from Indonesia in a compressed sealed bag that was airtight. Once you open it, it's open. So now you got a
Got it.
couple pounds sitting there. So you got to put it in a jar and seal it. So I did that, put it in the freezer. The problem was when I took it out of the freezer in the summertime, open up the cap, everything starts, all the condensation starts. So now you're inside of your jar and the outside of your jar is getting condensation. Then you put the cap back on. Then you put it back in and you keep repeating this process. It gets all the kratom moist from the, it's just horrible. And then eventually you can get mold and everything else in your kratom that way. So I tell
Right.
people, cool, dry place. Like the packaging we ship in, it's foil lined packaging. You just seal the top, keep it up in your cupboard, in your cabin, in your kitchen. Just a cool, dry place. That's all. We have kratom stored like that. Honestly, since 2018, that's still good.
So talk to us about harvesting and drying methods. Can you tell us a little bit about that? How long does it sit before being packaged? All that stuff.
Yeah, the leaves usually typically dry. I think it's between 5 and 7 days. And then the leaves are ground up into crumbs, and then they're ground up into a fine, like a flour type consistency powder. So when they do that, that's the final step in the process. So,
Got
but the
it.
leaves themselves, traditionally, what they would do, they would lay out a tarp in on the ground and let them be sun-dried. Problem with that is sanitation. You have chickens running around, lizards running around. I've seen some pictures that totally turn your stomach. So what they started doing years ago was building elevated racks. And now, more recently, in the last few years, it's indoor racks. So they actually have big, giant, like mini warehouses just for drying. So inside those warehouses, they can dry everything and have it basically climate controlled for the most part. It's still out in the jungle, these drying facilities, which is amazing. They have some pretty good stuff out there in the middle of the jungle doing this. So they get dried 5 to 7 days, then the ground down into the crumbs and then put into powder.
Gotcha. So if it sits in like a big area for like a long time without being sold or used, is it going to go bad?
You know what? If it's being stored properly, the only thing I can give you from is what my experience is, and that's in a cool, dry place around 70 degrees. I have kratom that's 7 years old, 8 years old, that's just as good as it was the first day I had it. So it doesn't really seem to go bad that quickly. In Indonesia, they have a lot more harsh conditions than we do. Their conditions are hot and humid. So I really don't know how long it would keep in those conditions. I'm not out there. But I do know that you do want kratom kind of rotating within a year. From the time you get it to the time it's sold, you kind of want to go it through a year. So time it's harvested to sold.
Gotcha. Is there anything like an extra strength version?
Yeah, I guess you can say there is. In the natural leaf, that would be old tree, old growth kratom. There are some kratom trees that are 50, 60 years old. So the leaves that those trees produce is just amazing. You may have mitragynine contents past 2%, which is another kind of miss is a thing that people kind of argue about. The higher mitragynine doesn't really matter. I know people that prefer lower mitragynine kratom and it works better for them. It's all what you're looking for. That's all. It has nothing to do with good or bad. So, but some of these leaves, just all the alkaloids are so rich and so balanced. It's just, you know it when you drink a cup of that kratom powder. It's so bitter. It's just, it's old and good.
The more bitter, the better it is.
That's what we used to say. I used to say that the bitter, the better.
It's like, what is it? It tastes awful, but it works. What is that cough medicine? Buck leaves.
Yeah, I didn't hear the commercial. I never heard that one.
Really? It tastes awful, but it works. And God, it looks gross. It looks so gross. I don't think I've ever had Buckleys, but I've seen it. It looks gross. But I love that. That's great marketing.
Be like castor oil.
What's that?
Be like castor oil back in the day. Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh, essentially. But if it works, hey, I would get anything down.
Yep.
So let's talk about gimmicks. Are there any gimmicks out there?
There's a lot of gimmicks. People try to say that they have the best, strongest, fastest, everything in the world. So there's always going to be some company that wants to try to sell you to say it's the best thing in the world, make it so strong that it's just not even like close to being kratom anymore. And the experience is just not going to be fun. There's just so many different ways that people try to kind of exploit kratom, I guess you can say, that I've seen. And, it's such a great medicinal leaf and it's done so many things for so many people that I really don't, I've never jumped on that train. I've never tried to sell the strongest this or strongest that. I just want to sell good products, products that work. And so those are a lot of gimmicks I see. Who's got the best, the strongest? Oh, I got the strongest kratom shots that you can find. It's okay. Doesn't mean they're going to work better than the other one. So, and what it is, a lot of times they prey on people's ignorance. Kratom isn't that well known. So they kind of dupe people into thinking that you're getting the best kratom or you're getting the best this, when a lot of times it's not even kratom at all. And it doesn't have to be that strong. That's not the way nature made it. So.
It's unfortunate. A lot of people just want to go into the market and make as much money as they possibly can. by doing that. And then people who, like yourself, who authentically have good natural product that want to see it change the world, gives them a bad name. So I'm glad we're going over this stuff, because people really need to do their research.
Yep, 100%. And I've seen it so many times over the years. Companies will pop up and in a year they're gone. They went in, they got the money grab, they did what they did, and they got out of it. And they hide, a lot of them will hide themselves. Like you can't even find where these people are anymore once they disappear. They're like they're gone, like ghosts. So it happens.
So what about the vendor? We're talking about your business. So what should we look for from your business so that we know you're credible? How do we know you're credible?
Well, like I said a couple minutes ago, we have lab testing on all of our products on our website. You can go in there, look at them, download them. It's in our product descriptions. We've been in business since 2016. We're coming up next week on our, I believe it's our 7th year being having our third our independent audit, our third party independent audit through the AKA's GMP program. We have a third party auditor come out, go over all our paperwork, all our files, look at our products. Look over our manufacturing processes and make sure that we're doing things the proper way. And this will be our 7th year, I believe it is, doing that. So right there, you can tell that we're doing the right thing. We have people inspecting us. Beyond that, we walk the walk. We walk the walk, talk the talk, and we're here. We've been doing this almost 10 years, and we're kratom consumers ourselves. We know what good kratom is. We know the way kratom should be taken, and whatever things that we offer on our website are the products we consume. So you
So
can
then,
feel
what are,
okay.
what's that?
I said, so you can feel okay.
Yeah, for sure. I know you and I spent some considerable actually time after we finished recording talking about Kratom, and you've answered all of my questions. And I just want to know for the audience, what kind of questions should people be asking a vendor about Kratom so they can get the right information?
Okay, it's a tricky situation or a sticky situation, whatever way you want to look at it. But vendors can't give medical advice, so it's kind of hard. Like our hands are almost tied, and a lot of guys are really good vendors. They really care about this plant. They've been doing this a long time. They care about kratom, and that's why they got into it, because it helped them. So, but beyond that, they can't really give medical advice. Some will on the side, but they really shouldn't, and it's really not advisable because I don't want to ever see anybody go down the wrong path, and think that kratom's going to solve their problem, because it won't. It's a tool. But it's a tool, when used correctly, can really get your life's path back on track. So, but if they really want to ask the right questions, they can say, hey, I'm looking for some energy. I'm looking for this. I'm looking for that. They might be able to say, oh, well, try a white, try a green. Those kind of questions they can possibly answer with no problem.
Right. It's got to be so difficult because knowing how much it's helped so many people, and then you just want to go around and sprinkle it in everyone's tea to make them feel good too, right? But you can't say certain things. That's why, like we talked about in the last episode, like doing research on it, making sure it's right for you, making sure it's not going to interact with your medications, taking it a few hours before and after. That is so important. I like reiterating that because we have to let people know that they have to really, really look into it and not just come go into it and take as much as they possibly can and expect it to change their life.
Exactly. And I know I've seen vendors over the years, they're like, oh, kratom's for everybody. Just take it. Just take it. Oh man, take it and just push it to everybody. And that's not true at all. It's not for everybody. So
Yeah.
it's definitely not for people that are taking a lot of medications, because the more medications you take, the more interactions there can be. So it's not for everybody, but it's something that once people are educated about, they can make that educated decision and it may be right for you at the right time. So
Yeah, that documentary I was watching, and it was like the imagery. I had it in my ears. I wasn't watching, but they were talking about how it was helping with the with opiate addiction. And I know we're not making medical claims, but it was so beautiful to see that there was a natural product out there that was changing people's lives. And when you're in opiate addiction, it's like a really scary, dark place to be. And so it was just so beautiful to see, and it just really got me even more curious about it. And just future impact. I'm just like thinking 10 years from now, what it's going to be like.
Yeah, I'm hoping that like the way more science, because that documentary came out in 2018. So we're in 2025. I honestly thought we'd be a lot further than we are, but we're getting there. The science is coming out. We're starting to really see in the last few years more of the science. I'm really hoping that another 10 years from now, we're seeing kratom being utilized as the tool that it should be in a lot of
Right.
different areas. So.
Yeah, I think it comes down to regulations, red tape, all of that stuff. Unfortunately, things like this that work, the world, there's so many rules and stuff people have to follow. And yeah, that's the way it seems to work.
And that's what it is. I could have got into and did the money grabs and sold the products that I know are definitely not kratom. And I could have pushed them and I could have done it and been honestly been a millionaire, no problem. A couple times over already, been in this business almost 10 years. So,
Right.
but I want to be able to sleep at night. I want to know that what I'm doing every day is helping people, that I'm not causing somebody a problem. So, and with the science that's out now, I could definitely point to it and go, look, this is what we knew 10 years ago. This is what we knew 5 years ago. So that's good.
Yes. Yeah, some good things take time sometimes.
Oh,
So,
yeah.
timing is everything.
Yep, it's warming up.
Yeah. So let's give us a breakdown of common fake kratom products.
Well, there's all different ones, but some of the ones that would come out would be like I was talking a couple minutes ago. You'd have the products that would be calling them super extracts or super alkaloid, this or that. And they'd have names in them. And they tested a bunch of them a while back. And I forget how many products, 30, 40 products. And a bunch of them didn't have any kratom in them at all. Some of the other ones were just like Thai Neptune or Phenibut products. Other products had just kava in them, like a kava mixture with Phenibut.
Okay.
And they have a lot of research chemicals out there that I don't even know what they are. And people mix them together and call it a kratom shot or something like that. A lot of times now I have people that come to me and ask me, what's 70H? And I tell them, I said, 70H is a metabolite from the kratom drying process. And they're like, well, what are these products I see? And they have like 20 milligram, 10 milligram, whatever they're. I was told, I went to the smoke shop and I asked for kratom and they told me this is the new kratom and this is better than any kratom. And I said, well, let me tell you something. That's not kratom. Kratom has 50 alkaloids. Kratom is a full spectrum, full alkaloid profile plant. I said, that's actually an isolated product. And I said, it's definitely not pure leaf kratom. I said, whatever it does or whatever it can do is great, whatever. I said, but it's not kratom. I said, you're looking for kratom. Kratom has 50 alkaloids. It's a full spectrum plant. I said, this is a metabolite of the drying process. So I had to go into the science and explain it. I said, it's found in the leaf in like hundredths of a percent of a milligram, like nothing. It's very small amounts. So some of these products now, they have them where they're 500 plus times stronger than they're actually found in nature in a metabolite.
Wow.
So it's not doing what kratom's supposed to do. It's
Right.
doing kind of something maybe, but not really at all. So people are like taking these, thinking they're a real kratom product and having problems with them, coming back saying, well, I'm having a problem with kratom. No, that's not what you're having a problem with. You're having a problem with 70H. Like Christopher McCurdy from the University of Florida, and I have to agree with him on this. There's like technically three types of kratom products in the market. And I am saying that I'm using that term loosely, talking about 70H. But you have kratom powder and capsules, which are pure leaf products. You have kratom extracts and tinctures and all the other stuff. And that's properly, if it's properly extracted and a natural balance of alkaloids and naturally extracted, that's great. That's what we want. Because it's easier sometimes for a standardized dose. Then you have 70H, which is kind of been around for about 2 years now and is a metabolite isolate. And it's been the companies have come out calling it a kratom product and giving it really, really bad names, like just horrible, like street drug names. So it really gives kratom a bad name. So there has to be a distinction between this is this product, and this is this product, and this is this product. So recently, I think it was last month, I believe it was Poison Control, was given a distinction. If somebody calls up about a kratom interaction or any type of interaction, they're to ask whether it is an isolated product, whether it's 7-OH, or whether it's kratom powder or leaf. So they'll know what kind of product they're talking about. So I think that's amazing. I think it's amazing we're getting there, that we can have that conversation. So that's great. Like, people are starting to see, you know?
I mean, a lot of the stuff that I was seeing when I was doing research was all capsule form. And you had mentioned that it's basically you like the powder form the best. And why was
I do.
that?
I honestly have tried probably 100 to 200 different extracts in the market over the last decade.
Oh, wow.
So I've tried all different types, all different brands. They're all good. They all work. They're all great options on the go. I know if I take this amount, that's exactly what I'm getting. But I never felt like I got the complete feel the way I get from kratom powder. It's just, I don't know. It doesn't last as long. I feel it doesn't last as long, and it doesn't give me the same feel. So that's the way I feel about it. I mean, beyond that, a lot of other people tell me because they don't like taking those products because they cost too much. Like, the kratom powder is cheap, so that's why they buy the kratom powder. But that's not reason for me. I like it. I honestly like it better, and I'm t that's the way it is.
So all of these enhanced products, mislabeled, tinctures, vape stuff, like, so that's all just gimmicks.
A lot of them are gimmicks. You see a lot of products that probably aren't the strength that they say they are. There's a few legit vendors and vape shops and places like that that have been around a long time, and everybody knows their name, and their products are great. But then you'll notice, if you go to just do observation, go to a gas station, go to a smoke shop, go to any places that sell them, and just see what's on the shelf, and then come back in a couple months and see what's on the shelf, and come back in a couple months. You'll notice it's constantly changing. A lot of them just come in and out just to grab money, and then you're spending money that, you're hard on money on junk. So it's just know what you're ordering, know what you're buying, know what you're getting.
Is there anything that's similar to kratom but isn't kratom that people may mistake for kratom?
Well, there's one product on the market that probably most people have heard of, is Moringa. Well, Moringa looks very similar to kratom when ground, like when you see the Moringa powder, looks kind of similar to kratom powder. So we've known a couple companies that were mixing kratom powder with Moringa and selling it, just to cut the price a little bit, mixing the Moringa. There's a few different products like that. That's one way to get, you really don't want to get duped there, but there are a few different products on the market that kind of maybe could be similar to kratom. One's kava. Kava has been around for really longer than kratom, or as long as kratom. And it's weird. I've had it. I got to do a little more experimenting myself with kava, but it actually numbs your mouth when you drink it, and
Interesting.
it's a very weird feeling, and it's got a weird taste to it, but it's relaxing. It's very relaxing, and it's relaxing the way kratom would be. There's a lot of products on the market that mix kava and kratom together because they are kind of sort of similar in different ways, but you know what I mean? They're not the same plant at all, but you have calvicones, you have alkaloids, but they're both relaxing. So, people kind of compare them a lot too.
Interesting. Well, I appreciate this, and I know the audience will too, going over all of the different, dupes out there and how to tell if kratom is actually kratom. Do you want to tell us where we can find you, about your store?
Sure. Yes, we're online only. You can find us at christophersorganicbotanicals.com. You can call or text us 609-202-6880 or 856-581-1265, and we'll get back to you and answer your questions and help you out.
Yes, and Chris will get back to you and answer your questions because he answered all million of mine. So, and with patience.
Yes, we want to make sure people are educated, whether they've just started Kratom or want to know more. We just want to give them proper education. And we have over 250 blog posts on our website as well you can look at.
Yeah, I know from my point of view, I just really want people to have an open mind when it comes to these things. And do you have any last minute thoughts to leave the audience with today?
Yeah, I really we had a good talk last week. It was last week or the week before with a sober living home. They were looking about thinking about using Kratom, for helping people instead of the standard traditional treatments that we're using nowadays. And they asked me, is if somebody's taking Kratom, are they sober? I said, it's really funny because we were featured in a little snippet article in Forbes for Cali Sober. Dry January. And I was thinking, I said, Kratom doesn't get you high, but it relaxes you. So people think that maybe they're taking something, they're not completely sober. So I said, you know what? I don't believe the whole abstinence things works. I think plants are here for a reason. It's not a crutch to use plants in your life. It's not a crutch to have something help you through your day. That's natural. So just investigate what these things are here for. And just it's here to make your life easier, to make your life better, so enjoy your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know people who are even like hesitant to take vitamin D or vitamin B because they think it's supplementing something that their body should produce naturally. But when we're deficient in things, we're not optimized. And so we aren't put on this earth to suffer. We're put on this earth to thrive. And if the earth is producing a natural substance that's helping people thrive, I think that's something worth paying attention to.
100%. That all the plants are here for a reason. We just got to figure out what the reason is.
Yes. Well, it sounds like we're figuring it out slowly
Yep,
but
that's
surely.
it. Yep, that's my goal in life. Figure out all these wonderful plants that are here and what to use them for.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here. It was a pleasure as always.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, and I look forward to more talks.
Yes, me too. Me too. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in. As we mentioned, if there's any, misunderstandings or questions that you might have, please let us know. Until next time, I'm Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor.
Thank you.